Let us turn again to Hebrews chapter 11. Let us consider now verse 27, as the Lord may be pleased to help us. Hebrews 11 at verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Well, we have brought before us in this part of God's word the effects of faith. Faith is a gift of God, and there were various outstanding believers: Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abram, Sarah, and others, as well as a whole list of them in the verses beyond where we read, who did great things by the grace of God, through faith working in their hearts. They acted in various ways that were according to the will of God, and they did so because they had faith. And here was Moses, and there are various things said about him that he did by faith. We may glance at some of these other things in due course, but just now, his leaving of Egypt. He left Egypt, and he did so by faith. He did so because he received the word of God. God met with him at the burning bush, and he gave him directions as to what he should do, and there were further directions given as time went on. Each time he went into Pharaoh to plead the cause of the children of Israel, he was given fresh directions. He didn't do what he did in dependence upon himself, but he acted by the express direction of God. Now, God does not speak to people in the same way now. We have the Bible, and the Bible is what is to direct us as to how we should glorify God and enjoy him. The Lord is able to influence our minds in making decisions. The Lord is able to influence our minds as to our duty in particular ways. The responsibility to profess Christ, for instance. But the basic matter in connection with that is the commandment to remember the Lord's death till he came, and in relation to examining ourselves, whether we are in the faith, and in relation to the evidence or lack of it, as to whether we have believed in Christ. But coming back to Moses, he forsook Egypt. He didn't fear the wrath of the king. And though he was commanded by the king to leave Egypt, that soon changed. Pharaoh was soon pursuing them to bring them back. They had been so very useful. And you see the unbelief that is in that man's heart. Moses acted by faith. Pharaoh acted by unbelief. All these evidences of God's existence, all these evidences of God's authority, all these evidences that led on to the killing of the firstborn in Egypt. And though that breaks his resistance, it's only for a time. He's back to his own unbelieving attitudes before any time it has passed. But by faith, Moses was not afraid of the anger, perhaps fierce anger of the king. He endured, he persevered in the course that he had entered into by faith. He endured as seeing the one who cannot be seen, as seeing the one who is invisible to the natural eye, God, a spirit, cannot be seen with our natural eyes. There are effects of God's working that we can see. We have a revelation from God in Scripture. We can see that. But you see, by faith, Moses was seeing the one who was invisible. Moses, by faith, was seeing the one who cannot be seen in a natural way. Now, what I say might seem to be contradictory, but when you take into account the two ways of seeing, seeing by faith, not in terms of a vision or anything like that. God reveals himself in his word, not in terms of visions. But, you see, by faith we can see God. By faith we can hear God. By faith we can receive the testimony that God gives. By faith, we can receive it as applying to ourselves. By faith, in any natural way, we cannot see God. And though Pharaoh had so much evidence of God and what he is able to do, he did not have faith. He was rejecting. He was rejecting it all. That God had showed. Oh, may we be kept from that. When we hear of God, when we hear of Christ as the one who came into the world to save sinners, may we be kept from ignoring it. We are to go to the Lord and ask him to work faith in our heart. We are to ask him to reveal Christ to us. Now, I'm saying that in the same kind of way as I was saying other things. To have a revelation of Christ, what do I mean by that? It's that I would see Christ. It's that you would see Christ as he is revealing himself in Scripture. As you have, it is a faithful saying and it is worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It's in these terms that we are to think of seeing Christ, what is revealed to us in the Word of God. And we're not to be rejecting all the evidence. I was mentioning the evidence that Pharaoh had. Well, you think of God revealing himself to you in this way, giving you evidence of God's existence. If you think of somebody who is going on in unbelief, going on in rebellion against God, and then they are turned by God's grace, that's God speaking to you. That's God showing you that he is still able to save sinners. That's God showing you that he is able to deliver sinners from the broad way and to put them on the narrow way that leads to everlasting life. And whenever you see somebody, and the people of God generally, especially those you know closely, and you see them living in a different way from what worldly people do, you're to say, that's what I need. I need the work of God, and he is able to do it. You see? See that you will not be unbelieving in the face of all that. Seek the Lord. But let us look at Moses in particular, and especially in the light of this verse. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. First, we will try to say something about Moses forsaking Egypt and the spiritual lessons that we can learn from that. And then in the second place, Moses endured by seeing the one who is invisible. In that difficult path, he had God's clear direction to go, but still he was just a man. And if he held up in the face of the wrath of Pharaoh, if he held up, if he persevered in the face of the murmuring of the children of Israel, it was by faith. It was by faith. So two things, leaving Egypt and enduring by faith in the one who cannot be seen with a natural eye. First then, forsaking Egypt at the call of God, he forsook Egypt. He had already forsaken the Egyptian palace with all its luxuries, no doubt, and with all the prestige it would have had. And I'm just mentioning that just now, and it's put very clearly and in a way that we should be able to profit from in the preceding verses. But Moses forsaking Egypt and the children of Israel under his leadership forsaking Egypt, that's a picture for us of the people that God brings out of a spiritual Egypt, out of the kingdom of darkness. They come out by faith, and they come out from a state of bondage. The Israelites were in bondage in Egypt, in bondage to Pharaoh, and all that he was interested in was getting bricks for his various projects. They were in bondage, and when Moses started to act on their behalf, going into Pharaoh and asking for them to be released so that they could worship God in a way, presumably, that they could not worship God in Egypt, Pharaoh made their life more difficult. But, you see, we will particularly look in these things as a picture of sinners under bondage to Satan, serving diverse lusts and pleasures. And God sees that. God sees the bondage that sinners are in, just as he saw the bondage that the Israelites were in Egypt. He said that he had seen the bond, that he had seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed the Israelites. He had seen that bondage. The Lord is seeing everything. And oh, what a provision he made to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. It was by a stretched out arm and with great power. And the two statements there about God's outstretched arm and his power, one is just putting the sense of the other in a more pictorial form. And it is in the same way that God brings sinners out of Satan's kingdom. He stretches out his hand. In other words, he exerts his power. He finds a sinner going deeper and deeper into sin, going further and further towards a lost eternity. And that sinner has no mind to turn. That sinner can only think that happiness and further happiness, it lies further and further down the road that will bring him to a lost eternity. But God is looking on that sinner, and he sees the fearful hold that Satan has on that sinner. Now, how were the Israelites to be delivered from Egypt? There was to be the power of God, of course, but it was in the exercise of his grace. It was according to his kindness. And there had to be a sacrifice offered. There had to be the Passover sacrifice in every Israelite household. Though if the lamb was too much for one household, they could find another household that they could join up with. But the point is that when all Egypt were under condemnation because of the refusal by Pharaoh in particular, and very probably the general Israelites were in full agreement that the Israelites should continue as slaves unless they were brought to another mind through the final plague or even the whole course of plagues. But you see, the foundation for God's kindness to Israel was, as that is expressed in these words, when the destroying angel was sent to kill every firstborn in Egypt, and that included Israel. Apart from this, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. When I see the blood, and that, of course, is what the Lord is saying in connection with the deliverance of sinners from Satan's kingdom and bringing them into the glorious liberty of the children of God. He is saying this in a much higher way. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. What does he mean? Well, when he saw the blood of the Passover sacrifice, and it was displayed by being painted on the doorpost and the lintels of every house. When he saw that blood, it was an indication of the Passover offering. When he saw the blood, he said, I will pass over this household. They are under the shelter of the blood. They are under the protection of the blood. And I will move on, so to speak. The angel would say that in, as it were, echoing the mind of God in the matter. God seeing the blood and the angel seeing the blood. But the important thing was God seeing the blood. And when the Lord has a purpose of mercy to a sinner in this world, where does the Lord look? Looking in kindness with his purpose, to deliver the sinner from going down to destruction. The sinner is to be blessed. This is a sinner that has been given to Christ. This is a sinner as God knows, and no one else can know. This is a sinner that Christ has died for, and Christ looks, and the Lord looks, as it were, on the blood. This is made the basis of the deliverance of that sinner, that Christ died, and that Christ died for this sinner, and therefore this must be fulfilled in connection with that particular sinner. I will pass over you. I will pass over this particular sinner. This sinner is no longer to go down towards a lost eternity. How can that be justly done when a lost eternity is the due punishment of the sins of that individual? How is that to be done justly? How can God be just in accepting a sinner? It's this. This is what covers it. This is what justifies God. This is what leaves God just. His own provision, that blood was shed, that Christ died. And he says, I see the blood, and here is a sinner that I will pass over. Christ shed his blood for this sinner, and this sinner must go free. This sinner cannot go on any closer to a lost eternity. I see the blood. Yes. And when David was brought into the kingdom of God, and when David did not, when David was not expelled from the kingdom of God after his great sin, what was the Lord saying, as it were? I see the blood that had not yet been shed, but the blood that was to be shed at Calvary. Yes, there was that provision. And you see, what we are thinking of is Moses escaping from Egypt. Moses forsaking Egypt. All the Israelites forsaking Egypt, which gives us, as we have indicated, a vivid picture of the provision that God has made. Yes, and sinners drawn by divine grace, when they hear the word of God is spoken to them with power, they are drawn to forsake the Egypt of this world. They are to come out of the world. Now, of course, we must be careful how we use words. I hope that you understand what I mean. But I do not mean the world as the planet on which we live. But I mean the world in connection, the world by way of contrast with the people of God, the world by way of contrast with that sphere where God reigns and where his authority is respected, where there is the fear of God. Yes. And you see, Moses was sent to deliver the Israelites out of the hand of the Egyptians, out from under their power, and to bring them up out of that land and to a good land. And what is the Lord doing with his people in this world? What is he doing when he brings them out of Satan's kingdom? When he delivers them from the oppression that they are under in their natural condition? When Satan is doing his best one way or another to keep them in his kingdom, to keep them in a state of unbelief? What is the Lord doing? He brings them out. He blesses his word to them. He sets them on the way that leads to everlasting life. And if Israel was a good land in outward things, if it was a good land as far as the crops were concerned, when they have the Lord's blessing, then how good a land heaven is. And the Lord bringing his sinners out of the land that he has put his curse upon, bringing them out of the kingdom of darkness, where Satan reigns, though the Lord is altogether above Satan, and Satan can only reign as far as he is permitted. But you see, he has a great power over sinners, bringing them on step by step towards a lost eternity, where they will be with him forever and ever. Oh, how earnest we should be to seek the Lord while he may be found, that asking him, pleading with him, that he would bring us out from Satan's kingdom, that he would deliver us from the wrath to come. Moses forsook the world at God's command. We are to forsake the world. You see, we have a vivid illustration in Abram. We read that the Lord of glory, the Lord who was characterized by glory, the glorious God of heaven, he came to Abram and he told him to come, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. And that's what the Lord does. He goes. He comes to the sinner. Now, when he comes to the sinner, he cannot be seen. But he can be, his presence can be felt by faith. But we will try to come to that at another stage. But just now, what I've tried to stress is the call of God to the sinner to come out of the world and to go to a land that God is able to show. That's the call of the gospel illustrated to us. Come out from the world. Come to Christ, sinner. That's what you've been told. You may say, I cannot see Christ. But you see things about him in the Word of God. You see this statement made, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Does that not meet with your case? And if I can just use a very simple illustration. Somebody working with wood wants to link two pieces of wood together. He wants to make a joint, and he shapes the end of one piece of wood, and that's as it is. And then he starts on the other bit of wood that must fit the other bit exactly, must fit the first bit exactly. So he shapes it accordingly. And one bit fits the other. One bit is entirely suited to the other bit. Now, it's only illustrating things in a very limited way, and we must try to be careful with such illustrations. But what I want to illustrate is this, how suited Christ is to the sinner. And you are there, are you? And you feel your need of salvation, is it? Well, be sure of this, that Christ is exactly suited to you and your need. And your thought might be, if I think of someone else, I can be sure that Christ is suitable for that sinner. Christ is able to save that sinner. Well, I tell you that Christ is as suited to you as he is to any other sinner. He came into the world to save sinners. That's it. And we're not to go around trying to find something that will make us suited to Christ. We are what we are, and Christ is suited to sinners in their need. We're not to try and make ourselves better and say, then I will come to Christ. We're not to go around and say, I must feel my sin more strongly. I'm not convinced enough of sin, but you're a sinner. It's not that we are convinced of sin in any particular way. I know that it's only those who are convinced that will come. But that's not what we're to be seeking. The Lord will take care of that in drawing sinners to himself. This is what you have to bear in mind. The suitability of Christ to you as a sinner. Yes. To you as a sinner. And the suitability of the gospel call to you, whoever you are. When he says to you, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Moses was called to go out. Sorry, I meant to say Abram just now. Abram was called to go out into that place which God would give him for an inheritance. And he went out. It's referred to in this chapter. Though I was quoting from what Stephen said at first, but by faith Abram, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He went out, not knowing whither he went, and how often it will be with a sinner. And the Lord is beginning to deal with them. They may not even recognize the Lord's hand in the matter, but you see, when they go out, when there's a drawing off them, and they give up various things, perhaps we can even confine ourselves to that just now, and when in leaving the pleasures of the world, in leaving worldly companions, as far as any degree of closeness is concerned, these things, for instance, when they are more careful about the means of grace, more careful about their Bible, and drawn more to pray, you see, they may not know where they are going. They are constrained to do these things. And where the common work of the Holy Spirit may stop, and the saving work of the Holy Spirit may begin, we may not be able to find that point, and that should not over-concern us. The important thing is, am I now in the kingdom of God? Am I now resting on Christ Jesus as the one who came into the world to save sinners? But you see, there may well be this about it all, in not knowing where they are going. They just go on step by step, and the Lord has that influence upon them. The Lord is exerting, though they cannot understand what's going on, the Lord is exerting the drawing power of the Holy Spirit on their souls. You see, these statements about Abram and Moses, for instance, they are there for us to learn. They're not just part of the Old Testament history, significant at all as that is. They're part of the New Testament interpretation of these things. They did so by faith. And many a difficulty sinners may have in their way from the kingdom of God, from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God. Many a difficulty, not knowing when they are out of one kingdom, not knowing where they are into the other. And yet, the Lord knows what he is doing. The Lord is drawing them out. What difficulties, for instance, Moses and the people of Israel had in getting out of Egypt. And I may come back to that also. But just for the present, just by way of illustrating what I'm trying to say, Moses coming out of Egypt with the Israelites, and they haven't gone far. They haven't reached the Red Sea when Pharaoh decides to follow. Here is this great resource he has had in his kingdom, and he thinks of all the projects that they have been involved in and how much they have done. It's all altogether selfish, of course, but the point just now is he goes after them. They're hardly out of Egypt. They're not, perhaps not out of Egypt, but they've gone some distance. And they know that Pharaoh is getting closer and closer. And they've no way out. They can't go to the right hand. They can't go to the left. There's mountains. They can't go straight on. Though that's the way they are going. That's the way Moses is leading them. There's the Red Sea in front of them. But you see, whatever difficulties you may be having, whatever difficulties you experience, you see, the Lord is drawing sinners out of Satan's kingdom, and he's doing so wisely. They may be acting foolishly. They may be still under the power of unbelief, and there may still be, even after they come into the kingdom, and in one way or another there will be. There will be much in belief, though of that in the kingdom of God there's some degree of faith. They're made willing to forsake Egypt. They're made willing to forsake the things of the world, to forsake their idols, what they were living for. Or they might tell you that they believe God exists, when so many think otherwise today. But whatever they may or may not be doing, as far as the means of grace are concerned, still they're following their idols. That's there's something, there's people, there's things that have the supreme place in their heart. Yes. But this is a wonderful thing. The drawing power of God, exercised by the Holy Spirit in the heart of a sinner, so that that sinner begins to move, as it were. That sinner starts to leave his idols. That sinner starts to live life differently. Now, as I said, it may be very hard to ascertain where the sinner takes the last step out of the kingdom of darkness and that first step into the kingdom of God. With some, it may be very clear. Or they may think that it is clear. The important thing for us, and I've said this already and I'm sure many, many other times, but the important thing is for us to be asking and asking all along the way, am I truly in the kingdom of God? We're to examine ourselves as to whether we are in the faith. We're to prove our own selves. Yes, but Moses forsook Egypt. He brought the children of Israel with him. In spite of the wrath of the king, in spite of all the difficulties that there are, you see, Moses would have known Pharaoh very well. He would have known him in the palace, but he had experience of him in a completely different way. when he was going back and forth with Abram to meet Pharaoh. And on his final visit, Pharaoh warned him in these terms: "Get thee from me, take heed to thyself, see my face no more, for in that day that thou seest my face, thou shalt die." And no doubt, although it was in the end Pharaoh that sent them out of Egypt with haste, still Moses had long experience of dealing with Pharaoh, and he might well very reasonably expect that Pharaoh, even now, would change his mind. And what would happen to him then, he might ask himself. How will Pharaoh treat me now? What will Pharaoh do to the likes of me and the likes of Aaron and any other leaders that he might pick on particularly? Will be killed. Well, whatever it might be, you see, Moses went on. He did what he was directed to do, not fearing the wrath of the king. He was seeing him who was invisible. That's the way it has to be with us. Whatever difficulties there might be in the way, how will so-and-so react? How will I survive without my idols? I'm not saying people will put it into these terms. How can I enjoy life without these particular pleasures that have been my only hope of having pleasure for perhaps a long period? But we're to go with Moses. We're to go with Abram. We're to think of how they reacted to the call of God. They were obedient. They did not trouble. Well, many these things have been a trouble to many a one. But, you see, we're to look beyond them. We're to bring them before the Lord. Whether it's the wrath of others, whether it's displeasure of others, whether it's the difficulties we foresee, Satan is adept at manufacturing difficulties and setting them before those with whom the Lord is dealing. We're to look beyond these fears. We're not to be afraid of other human beings. You might say, that's very easily said. I can accept that, of course. But, you see, the power of the Lord is altogether beyond all kings on earth that are. I'm quoting imperfectly from, I think it's Psalm 97. It's one of these psalms, anyway. It might be Psalm, I meant to say 99, which is what I was looking at, but I think it's Psalm. For thou, O Lord, art high above all things on earth that are, above all other gods, thou art exalted very far. That's what we're to bear in mind. That God is exalted. His power is exalted. He hears the cry of the sinner. He hears the cry of those whom he is drawing, in whose heart he is working. Whether there is saving faith there as yet or not, the Lord is high above all the opposition that the sinner might feel. And we do not make light of that opposition. It may be very difficult to get past these things. But you see, how did Moses get past these things? How did Abram get past these things? You might think of Abram coming out of Ur of the Chaldees and asking him, where are you going, Abram? And Abram has to say, I don't know yet. What a laugh people could well have had over Abram's stupidity. Doesn't know where he's going, and yet he's setting off. He's taking his family with him. He doesn't know where he's going. How ridiculous. But you see, Abram was seeing him who was invisible. Moses was seeing him who was invisible. And what was visible to Moses was the anger of Pharaoh. The anger of fear. What is visible to sinners today? Well, I'm sure I could make up examples. The mockery of those who were close friends, the opposition, the arguments, the unbelief that is spewed out of former friends' mouths. The arguments against God and against religion and against spiritual religion, against the religion that really makes an effort to follow the commandments of God. They might say, if you would go to some other church, you could do these various things still. If you would go to some other church, I wouldn't think you so mad. But you see, whatever Moses had to experience, whatever the general, whatever people generally among the Israelites had to experience, whatever Abram had to experience and many another one, they persevered. So that is something to come back to, and it's going to be at another time now that we'll go on to the second head. But you see, Moses forsook Egypt, and Moses had already forsaken the palace. He had forsaken his place in society. He was no longer going to be in the palace. He knew that wasn't good for him. He must join the Israelites, his own people. He must join the people of God. He must live with the people of God. He must live as the people of God did. Yes, so he forsook Egypt. He forsook the palace, just as later he was to forsake Egypt. Yes. The Lord worked in his soul. The Lord worked in his mind. Or you might say, if I could get the sort of revelation that Moses had, if I could get the Lord meeting with me in a miraculous way like he did to Moses at the burning bush, then things would be so easy. Well, Moses had his difficulties. We're not to expect a way free from difficulty. But it's this great matter, the power of God drawing the sinner to himself. Now, that's not to say that sinners are to sit doing nothing, that they're to lie back until the Lord will exercise his power. They're not to lie back and be idle. The Lord is calling on them to believe. Moses believed. We are to believe. All that are truly godly, all that are true followers of Christ, they believed. Not through a miracle, but they believed because of what is written in the Word. I mean, not by an outward miracle. In a sense, you can speak of saving grace as a miracle. The saving work of God in the soul, you can speak of it as a miracle. But what we have is the Lord working. The Lord working. by his word and spirit in the heart of sinners. That's what we need. Yes, and we are to be in earnest. The people coming out of Egypt, it wasn't by some miraculous process that lifted them up and carried them supernaturally into the promised land. But you see, they had to get up and go. And though we need a supernatural work, you see, we must feel the responsibility also of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in connection with the call of the gospel that the Lord works savingly in the soul, so that the sinner is made willing and able to embrace Jesus Christ as he is freely offered in the gospel. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. There you have it. There's the truth. And we are to receive it. Yes, we may ask that the Lord would make us willing and able. We need that work. But we are responsible creatures. And the Lord is speaking to us. And may he make us willing and able to forsake the kingdom of darkness, like others have been made able to do. Oh, may the Lord work in each of our hearts in connection with his own word and with what he is revealing to us there. Let me just say this. What we have in the word of God is altogether sufficient for our salvation. What we have in the word of God is altogether sufficient for our salvation. May he bless his word to us. Let us pray. O Holy One, bless us. Apply thy word to our souls. We are so thrown, spiritually speaking, but do thou bless us. To them mix thy word with faith in our heart and grant to be doing good to us all. Do good to those who are hearing thy word today, in whom thou art work. Grant to draw them powerfully, make them willing, so that they would forsake spiritual age and that they would follow Jesus Christ through all the troubles that they may experience. May they not be expecting a trouble-free life, but may they be looking to thyself. Though thou art invisible, yet thou art revealing thyself. And oh, that we would submit to the whole revelation that thou hast given. Pardon us and bless us and keep us. Wash away all our sin. Grant to do us good, grant to draw us by thy grace. Keep us from evil and bless us. Bless us now, bless us always. Prepare us for eternity and grant to meet with us in the evening. Be our God and our guide forever. For Jesus' sake, amen.